Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And we're back in Rome, or at least our program is, this week, hitting on some of the more casual spots that we visited, but also including some that are not so casual. We're going to begin with an old favorite, meaning not the restaurant, but the chef owner. And it's Rosti al Pignato, and you've probably listened to our previous coverage of Primo al Pignato, and the is it Pignato or Pignato?
Pignato,
which is an up-and-coming trend area, district in Rome. And Rosti is a change of pace for these guys, isn't it?
It's an unusual concept anywhere, I think. I mean, a restaurant that has 400 seats sitting out in the open is just a little different.
And a playground for kids.
Yeah.
It's a family-oriented place.
And it was a whole lot of fun, and you'll find it a whole lot of fun, too. But here's Massimo, who was one of the founders of Primo al Pignato, and now Rosti.
Well, here we are back with our old friend. He's not old, but our friendship is. Back to 2009, I believe. Massimo Terzulli, and he is a restaurateur to reckon with. His partner, who we also loved, is the chef. Marco is not here, who's other fish to fry, as they say. And we're at not Primo al Pignato that we first encountered this team, but at their new restaurant, Rosti, and we're going to be talking about all that. First of all, I want to say hello again, and we missed you, Massimo. Dire qualcosa. Say something. Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome, Peter and Anna Peter. Yeah, welcome in our restaurant. I open another restaurant. Is it the Rainy Rosti 4 years ago, and the new restaurant is different than Primo because it's a new trend with the restaurant, the space for the family and children, as big space in open, and the food is very good, but it's more simple than Primo. Yeah.
You shook up the restaurant scene in Rome when you opened Primo, and I remember how refreshing it was. We have a new member of our favorite restaurant team here, Stefano Cialanga, who is, may I modestly for him, acknowledge as brilliant. So pleased to meet you, Stefano, and so happy that you know so much about what you're talking about. And tell us a little bit about, let's see, where do we start? We start a little bit with the background of the restaurant group. Do you want to do that?
Yes, hello. I'm Stefano Cialanga. The background of the restaurant group is actually goes back to at least 15 years ago, where Massimo and Marco met in another place in Rome called Gusto, where Marco was executive chef. Massimo actually was the director of another place, another restaurant just in front, just nearby. They met and they decided to open Primo in 2006. Now this year it's the 10th anniversary of this joint venture, let's call it. Four years ago, they decided to venture in another project, which is Rosti, which is this place where we are now.
Someday I'm going to have to get settled as to whether it's Stefano or Stefano. When I say Stefano, the person says Stefano. I don't know why. Do you know why? Anyhow, let's ask a little bit about your background, Stefano. You've been everywhere.
Not nearly everywhere, but I'm 42. 42 years old. Was born in London. Been there for a few years, then came back to Italy. My father used to work in restaurants, was Maître de Sol as well. So I started after him before for first to gain some extra money during the weekend. Then it became my job. I traveled to Australia, England again, Spain as well, Italy in many cities. I work my job always been the floor of the restaurant and specialized in wine, so in sommelier.
We didn't really finish up with Massimo talking about the idea behind this place, because this place is surrounded by umbrellas to keep off the sun, or in some cases, I'm sure in Rome, unfortunately, to also keep off the rain. It has lots and lots. How many chairs altogether in this lovely garden where we're sitting?
About 400. Yeah. Six. Yeah.
I was going to ask a similar question. I was going to say, when you were such a success at Primo, which is an upscale concept, what was it that was itching at you that wanted you to open a more casual place like this?
Hold this. Say what you want, and then he will translate.
In italiano, all right. abbiamo pensato di aprire un nuovo abbiamo pensato di fare un nuovo progetto di ristorazione per un cambio proprio delle tendenze e dei tempi anche che c'erano. E quindi abbiamo pensato a un posto dove le famiglie, anche in base al quartiere dove abbiamo aperto, famiglie e bambini, potrebbe essere un punto di ritrovo un po' per tutti. Il posto è molto grande, ha un'accoglienza, come dicevo prima, di circa 400 persone, c'è uno spazio dedicato anche ai bambini, il che fa una ricettività molto, molto buona. E chiaramente il concetto del food all'interno di questo posto è sempre legato al nostro pensiero, alla nostra tradizione, con un'attenzione sull'organico, sul biologico molto, molto forte. Quindi sia il cibo che il vino sono quasi tutto è organico e biologico. C'è un'attenzione particolare a un menù per bambini. E quindi questa è stata la nostra nuova frontiera del progetto, da una parte dedicata quindi con Primo a un ristorante gourmet, dall'altra usando sempre le stesse materie prime, quindi comunque di alta qualità, ma con procedure molto più semplici e adatte a un pubblico più grande.
Okay, what Massimo said is that the reason behind Rosti is to is behind the change of trend and necessities of people in modern time. So this place, Rosti, is a place made and tailored-made for families, mainly for kids. There's a 1,000 square meter garden with an area with for kids with games where they can play. The food, it's instead of the gourmet restaurant, the difference with Primo is that they we use actually the same products, but with in a more simple way for an offer which is made for families, for kids, with an eye at the organic products and biological products. And for kids as well, with a menu tailored for them as well, with 400 places, 400 seats in the garden and inside as well.
Thank you, Stefano. Can you describe a little of the structure? I mean, you have a buffet certain times, other times it's inside seating, outside seating. What are the options here?
Yes, the place has two major areas. There's an inside and there's an outside. Outside there are 350 places. Inside there are another 120 actually, sorry. The offer is divided between lunch and dinner, but goes on mainly all day. And for breakfast as well, actually, during the Yeah, apart from the month of August, which is closed because people go to the beach. All the other days, the place is open from breakfast. We do four kinds of breakfast, which is like Italian one, so with juices and croissant, no, cornetto, and stuff like that. We have a Nordic one with smoked salmon and coffee and tea as well. We have an English breakfast. And they can find even pastries and other sweets and cakes. Lunch is quite light, but the offer goes through the afternoon as well. And for dinner, where you have the pizzeria is open as well. And the offer is mainly with burgers as well the rest. But even with pasta and vegetables.
È tutto quello che riguarda Rossi dal, profilo, dal punto di vista del cibo e del vino, mentre per quanto riguarda proprio l'architettura del posto, per immaginarlo come era, è stata fatta proprio una rivalutazione, quindi una ristrutturazione di un ambiente, diciamo, industriale. La parte interna era un garage, quindi un garage di macchine, un'officina meccanica, e all'esterno c'era la parte aperta, sempre questa officina per quanto riguarda il parcheggio delle macchine dei clienti. Noi, recuperando l'interno, quindi un capannone, diciamo, con un'area post-industriale, abbiamo rivisto e rielaborato insieme al nostro architetto con cui avevamo fatto già primo, quindi dandogli un'aria, diciamo, industriale, ma con un sapore un po' diverso, da osteria. E mentre l'esterno siamo riusciti a trasformare questo, diciamo, parcheggio com'era, in un'area completamente piena di alberi e verde, e cosa anche all'interno di una città è veramente difficile trovare.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Can you do that one?
Okay, so the place was actually a mechanic with a car park in front of it, inside this popular area. What we decided to do was to gain back the place, leave the original structure, the mainframe, sort of, and to rebuild it, make it greener. So the garden outside is full of new trees that have been planted 4 years ago and now are full grown. Plants, a little garden as well with herbs and spices from all over the world, and the furniture inside has been reset as a urban way, but in very, very, very simple and something very comfortable as well to use every day.
Well, I didn't even know that. Let's talk a little bit about the food we ate, and also you could talk about the food we didn't eat, but we ate quite a lot. Could you describe some of the dishes?
Yeah, sure. We had a little lunch with little nibbles, actually, I would say, of ravioli, which are made from a pastaio. It's an artisan. Actually, that's this fresh pasta filled with ricotta and basil, just made with butter and parmesan cheese. We had a bit of lasagna as well, and we had a few contorni, a little something on the side, which were caponata, Sicilian caponata, made out of zucchini and eggplants, onions, pine nuts, and tomatoes. Yeah.
And may I say, all of it is done with really quality ingredients and is very fresh. Ancora.
We had some zucchini salad with almonds. We had a bit of lamb as well, I'm sorry. And meatloaf with oven-cooked potatoes, which are mostly the some ricotta as well, yeah. These things are. This is what we do actually on. We forgot to say this. This is actually the offer we do on Saturday and Sunday. It's not a brunch. We call it Sunday lunch, we call it. Actually, grandmother's lunch, we call it. Grandmother's lunch, which is exactly pranzo della nonna, which goes on Saturdays and Sundays, so people then can come here and they can go how many times they want to the inside and take whatever they like, from desserts to pasta and side dishes, salads, meat. Rest Saturdays and Sundays.
And you also have, is this the place that has a special relationship to the meat producer, the Maremma, or is that Primo?
Yes, we do. Even here, we collaborate. We work with this farmer in the area, in the region of Tuscany, in the area of the Maremma, Bassa Maremma, which farms this the beef that we use over here. This place uses a very big amount of beef, because for the hamburgers and the rest of the menu, we use a lot of beef that comes from this biological certified farm, as well as Primo, where instead we use the cuts of beef a bit more for the restaurant part.
Don't forget the pizza.
Absolutely, we don't forget the pizza, made with flour selected flours as well, from Piemonte, from a mill which is biological certified as well. We use mainly even the yeasts made from us. We do our own yeast with which we do the pizza. We use mainly integral dark flour to use the to make the brown flour to make the pizza, and all the other products as well are all selected and all biological.
And the amazing thing is that this place looks like it's in the middle of the countryside, but it's within 50 meters of a stop on Rome's mass transit system, a stop. Guess what it's called, listeners? It's not called Rosti, but it is called Pigneto, P-I-G-N-E-T-O. We understand from Massimo that there are some changes happening with the way that the mass transit system happens around Rome. So the best thing to do before you come, if you want to adventure that way to get here, is to find out which lines, plural or singular, will actually get you to the stop. And then you're within 50 meters and there isn't a sign, Massimo. You're going to put a sign out there that says Rosti is this way?
E il segnale indicazione, l'indicazione per Rosti non c'è, diciamo, quasi volutamente, perché così rimane un posto che le persone debbono e vogliono trovare, e quindi è un po', lo fa anche un po' più interessante. Anche se poi l'area è molto grande, quindi una volta entrati, ma il passaparola è molto veloce.
Yeah, the sign is not actually there because we don't want it to be there, because this is a place that it's not hidden, but it's not hidden actually, sorry, but it's but you have to find it. A little bit. You have to work a little bit to find it, and that's why even so, it's even quieter, you know, and people can enjoy their stay and can stay here quite in peace. And we don't want to put a sign that indicates, you know, and so it's easily found.
Well, when I called Massimo and I said Massimo, got to come back to Primo and have some of your delicious food that you and Marco are cooking, he said, no, I want to show you Rosti. And I'm so glad he insisted on doing that, because it really is a very special place, listeners, the kind of space where you'll have an un-Roman experience in Rome, but an experience you'll really enjoy.
I can't say how much I enjoy being with this duo. I mean, a restaurateur and a front of the house person, who are both are amazingly dedicated. They have a mission, and they are concerned with sustainability, and they're so smart and intelligent. It's a pleasure to not only eat here, but to talk with these gentlemen.
Bye-bye, and thank you. Bye.
And we'll be back after a short break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Next up is more or less an institution in Rome, Roccioli, primarily because its roots are in a long-favored deli. We ate in a private room, well, not private, but I mean a separate dining room behind the deli, and it was a communal table, a great big open-centered square with everybody sitting
okay,
on the four
yeah.
sides.
So you can eat in, but the other wonderful thing about it and what really attracts attention is you can eat out.
Right.
So you can buy sandwiches and delicatessen items at the counter in front of the establishment, and then stand around and eat it there or take it away to wherever you want to. It's a terrific place. We got recommendations from every direction. If you have the chance to go to Roccioli, you should go to Roccioli. That was Lydia Bastianic.
Yeah. Well, friend. I mean, it has so many fine old features to it, but it also has a modern perspective, and the decor is very stylish, showing that the owner has a great sense okay. of, art taste, let's put it that way.
Right.
But I have to comment that here we were all lined up on this communal table, and I looked around, and I think that you and I were the only people who were not immersed in their cell phones.
And we were not the only ones who were not Italian. But let's hear the story.
Now, Enrico Rusticali has a major responsibility here, explaining the history and the philosophy of an institution, a culinary institution in Rome called Roccioli. Enrico, thank you for agreeing to do this.
Hi, thank you, you too.
You work here?
Yes, I'm manager of the Roccioli Cafe. And he's the third born of the Roccioli's shops in Rome.
Let's start at the beginning. As I understand it, this great institution, sprawling institution, started as a simple bakery.
Yeah, we started with a bakery. Marco Roccioli, the father of Pierluigi and Alessandro, started with a bakery that is closed here. And in 1972, and then Pierluigi and Alessandro enter in the father activity. Pierluigi work only in the bakery, and Alessandro start to introduce and to open a little restaurant.
So what are we going to eat here at Roccioli today? First of all, we made the big decision to eat at the shared table just in back of the counter where it turns out most people buy their lunch, but we decided it would be interesting to sit and spend a little more time. So first up, we were interested in the tartare de carne, the beef tartare, but Enrico recommended the tartare of salmon instead, so we had that and greatly enjoyed it with caponata on the side and, of course, some of their wonderful bread, which is a big feature of this establishment since it's how they got started in the first place. But absolutely the highlight of lunch that we saw other people eat and decided we absolutely must have, and besides highly recommended by Enrico, is the club sandwich. The club sandwich being enough to feed a club of more than two people. But we did enjoy it. We ate almost all of it, and it was absolutely delicious. And I can't tell you everything that was in it. All I can tell you is how much we enjoyed it. And we're going to have a wine from the Lazio region, a red wine from the Lazio region, this being the region in which Rome is situated. All in all, we expect to have a wonderful time, and we'll be back with more discussion with Chef later on.
You have really many, many desserts, however, because I remember there were so many I shared with somebody across the table, which is part of what you want to happen in this restaurant.
So we're talking about the maritozzo con la panna. This is our most traditional Roman pastry that we made here. And we are a coffee shop and pastry shop, and we have got a lot of pastry that we in the morning for breakfast present. And so our pastry chef during the lunchtime prepare a lot of nice pastry and nice and different type of sweeties.
Now, there are many different aspects of this. You have a very advanced, forward-looking wine list and a cocktail bar. I mean, cocktails of this sort are actually not usually... So that you don't always expect an advanced, forward-thinking cocktail program in an Italian restaurant, sort of bistro restaurant here, but you got it, and you have. I just talked to your new mixologist, and he has grand ideas. I mean, you have a shelf here full of all kinds of contemporary longings for the mixologists, like bitters and so forth. You're going to have a full, really full-blown bar program, aren't you?
When we project this place, we decide to complete some part of Roscioli's method. So in the restaurant, we haven't got the place where we can serve cocktails, or we mix or make cocktails. So we decided to open this room, not only for food and for breakfast time, but also for aperitif time and for cocktail time. We decide to... our philosophy is that we Roscioli have always the best food, and we decide also to have the best drink, the best alcoholic, the best bottle that you can find in a cocktail bar.
You got the start of an empire here. Peter had a question.
Yeah, when we arrived, there was a big line, a coda. Now, did I understand that to be people who were actually buying sandwiches and things to take away, and that's an option that people have if they want a lunch or something to eat on the go, they can do that at the counter in front.
Yes, you can do that because the place is very little, but the food is very, very good. And so all the people that used to stay around this place and work in the offices around used to come here and take away food, sandwiches, and our entrance is very, very little, and also the coffee bar. So people decide to take it away, and eat it out or in the office. Sandwiches, also the main food, first or second course, and then the coffee.
Now, I'm looking at this book called Antico Forno Roccioli, a Roman Gastronomical Experience, and this has just been released. I have an English copy. How many languages was it produced in?
In two languages, English and the Italian one. And this is the Roccioli's short Roccioli story, and also in the book you find some recipes.
I love the pictures of the family members. It's like four generations.
Yes. Four generation of we arrived at the first generation, right?
I mean, they look very, very capable and strong, especially the women in this family. Although the owners now are both brothers. Oh, now here's, I don't know who that is. Nabil?
Nabil is the chef of the restaurant. He's the, and Alessandro and Pierluigi are the two owners. I told you before, Alessandro in the restaurant and Pierluigi in the bakery. And the picture that you have seen before was Nabil, was the main chef of the restaurant.
Well, I mean, I haven't read the book, but I sure intend to, because it looks like it has a very front, close, and personal view of this family that has created this incredible Roman institution. We enjoyed what we ate here, and I thank you so much, Enrico, for talking to us. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you to you too, and I hope to see you again or come in the United States to be in your
town. Well, it's not really as exciting as Rome, but we'll be happy to see you. Thank you again. Grazie mille.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
On the menu, we find out about places that we think we might like to go, not by word of mouth, but by reading about them in travel magazine articles or in just overheard conversation or whatever. We rely on concierges at hotels, and the concierge at the Grand Flora Marriott was one who endorsed a recommendation we had received about a family-run restaurant in a residential part of Rome called Al Ceppo.
Which means at the log.
It
means at the log.
It does? Okay, well, your memory is different than mine. Anyway, it was a truly charming establishment, and we had the opportunity to talk to a waiter translating for one of the current owners who was a daughter of the founder, and also with the chef, and really a delightful place.
It was
place.
A great surprise and delight.
Well, it wasn't a surprise, but it was better than the recommendations said it would be. So we were very pleased, and you should try to make your way there too.
The great thing about Restaurant Al Ceppo is without help you won't find it. It's not on a main street. It is in Rome. But it, in a way, it doesn't feel like Rome, because it doesn't feel like the Rome that most people from outside Italy visit. But it's a place that you should find out where it is before the end of this interview. We'll let you know that. The first thing we want you to know is that Al Ceppo means a log, and we don't really understand why. There are various explanations. But we'll first of all want to say hello to Caterina, who is our host for lunch today, and we had a wonderful time, and we thank you so much for that. Perhaps you'd like to say a little bit about when this restaurant was started.
Sì. Il ristorante l'ha aperto mia mamma nel 1968. La famiglia viene dalle Marche, che è una regione dell'Italia centrale. E dopo qualche anno è venuta la sorella ed è stato sempre diretto dalla parte femminile della famiglia.
The restaurant, it's a family restaurant from Mark region, and was opened from Christina and her sister in 1968. Also, it's really particular that the fact the restaurant was running always from the female part of the family, and she likes to always to say that.
I want to recognize Luigi De Gennaro because he's going to be helping us with translation, and he is a superb server here who has traveled the world and experienced all kinds of different sizes and types of restaurants. Luigi, grazie mille. Allora, the chef is Emanuele Maggio, and he has done a fine job. And we're going to ask you, Emanuele, where are you from, and how do you approach your cooking? What are the major influences on your style of cooking? I've read that it is traditional, but it's very clearly also very modern.
Okay. Allora, io sono nato a Roma, da mamma marchigiana e papà pugliese. Ho avuto un'influenza molto profonda da parte della mia famiglia, dalla parte di mia madre, soprattutto di mia nonna. Sono delle bravissime cuoche e ancora adesso attingo da loro per tante ricette sulla tradizione sia romana che italiana. Anche quando ho lavorato all'estero ho sempre contattato loro per diverse ricette, per un consiglio. E poi le mie esperienze, io comincio molto presto a lavorare a 17 anni. Comincio a fare le mie prime esperienze qui a Roma e comincio il mio primo percorso vero e proprio su un ristorante di un certo livello al ristorante Il Convivio, una stella Michelin a Roma. Poi ho fatto tante varie esperienze, tra cui Anthony Genovese, Il Pagliaccio, due stelle Michelin, Heinz Beck, sia in Roma che a Londra. All'Upsley Restaurant a Londra, ho lavorato un anno, poi sono tornato in Italia e sono andato a lavorare in Sicilia per un anno, da Pino Cuttaia. Quella è stata forse la più bella esperienza della mia vita. Dopo tutte queste esperienze sono passati quasi 18 anni e sono 4 anni adesso che sono al ristorante al centro. Grazie.
Se mi dimentico qualche pezzo,
sì, è troppo lungo.
Quattro pezzo lungo.
E beh.
Okay, the chef said that it was is born it's from Rome. It was born in Rome, from a father from Puglia and mother from Marche region, which is really important in his life because he's always taking the recipe and consulting from her mother and her grandmother, the traditional stuff. And he was starting to have his job. He was really young. He was 17. And he had a lot of experience in outside of Italy as well, like in Londra with Heinz Beck. And in Rome, also with Heinz Beck, with Convivio and Angelo Troiani, and Il Pagliaccio, Antonio Genovese. And soon after in Sicily, a really good experience with the chef Guttaia, Pino Guttaia, in the restaurant La Madia. Okay. He is back in Rome and he works for Al Cippo restaurant in Via Panama too. site 4 years, and then he's really happy about that.
Yeah. It's a record.
Well, we're happy too to have eaten this wonderful meal. And, you know, we know you listeners like to know every detail of what we're eating. So we're going to have Chef go through some of the dishes that we had, starting with the baby squid, which I love, the croaker, which was grand. Chef, tell us what the dishes were that we ate.
Allora, cominciando da una cosa fondamentale, che il ristorante al Ceppo ha una storia di 50 anni, io sono qui solamente da 4, quindi già qui c'è stato, venendo a lavorare qui c'è stato già un apprendimento, un crescere, e poi devo dire che col tempo sono riuscito anche con il lavoro insieme a Caterina a mettere dei piatti, a fare dei piatti nostri, quindi la panzanella per esempio con i totanetti. Diciamo, il totanetto è un pesce povero, la panzanella anche, però messi insieme esce un risultato ottimo, diciamo. Per esempio la l'ombrina affumicata, lì viene dall'esperienza che ho fatto in Sicilia da Pino, dalla terra, dai profumi, dai colori, dal mare, e quello me lo sono portato a Roma.
Then the chef say that with his experience, he used to try to put together really poor dishes like totanetti and croutons, panzanella, which are fish, and croutons, panzanella. It's one of old Roman recipe. He was putting together, and even if the the restaurant is here like from 50 years, he has already a good story and back things. So he says that always trying to make a new recipe with a really particular.
Do you want to continue, chef, with some other dishes?
Dopo i due antipasti che abbiamo, sia la panzanella che l'ombrina, abbiamo servito il raviolo è fatto in casa, è ripieno di burrata leggermente condita con una salsa di melanzane affumicate, un culi di pomodoro e un pesto leggero di basilico. Il piatto di mezzo è stato la vellutata di Gran Turco, che è un piatto nuovo che abbiamo messo adesso in menù, visto che è di stagione, accompagnato con del polpo scottato, porcini. Grazie.
The chef was explaining the dishes that he was serving to our clients, and it was the totanetti, sear totanetti on panzanella. Then we had ombrina, so it's a croaker smoked here in the house with a really light cacciatora sauce. And cream of corn with seared octopus and porcini. Then they had ravioli, homemade ravioli with burrata and eggplant, smoked eggplant, and cherry tomato.
And add for sure that all the fresh pasta is made in house, and the bread is too.
Abbiamo oltre alle paste, facciamo sia la focaccia che i grissini, ma anche i dolci, come avete già assaggiato, sono tutti quanti fatti in casa.
And we're about to eat two of the most splendid looking desserts Could you tell us what those are?
A spigola pura, diciamo, no?
No.
Le dolci. Ok. Dopo i ravioli abbiamo servito un piatto che adesso è diventato quasi fisso nel nostro menù, che è la spigola in crosta di sale, ma monoporzione, non la classica spigola intera, ma sono delle porzioni fatti, sono dei tranci di spigola fatti a porzione con una pasta di sale, cotti in forno e poi serviti con un purè di patate viola, peperoni e pomodori. Poi abbiamo concluso il pasto con un'insalatina di misticanza e con dei dolci al piatto. Abbiamo servito una terrina di cioccolato con una terrina di cioccolato Caraibi con lamponi e una ciambella al bincotto con sorbetto fatto in casa di uva fragola.
For second course, the chef was serving the really traditional now in our restaurant, the sea bass fillet cooked in the oven over salt with
salt crust,
with a puree of violet potato and a side of misticanza salad with anchovies. For desserts, it was preparing the tart of chocolate Caraibe with a raspberry mousse on top, and a sorbet of strawberry grape and strawberry grape and donuts made in house here with vino cotto.
Well, I mean, consider also that each dish that comes out of the kitchen is a work of art, so we have a lot of artistic talent from this chef as well. It's beautiful to look at, and Signora, your restaurant is beautiful to look at as well.
Allora, parlo del ristorante. Il ristorante c'è da tanti anni, è un ristorante di tradizione. Ci sono tutti questi quadri con le figure femminili, specialmente in quella sala, perché mamma è un'appassionata, sono tutti ritratti di signore primi anni 30, e poi mettiamo sempre fiori freschi. Comunque ci teniamo molto che in questo ristorante uno si senta come a casa, che ci sia un'atmosfera familiare, curiamo molto il cliente e che ci sia, si senta a suo agio.
Caterina likes to explain that the restaurant, it's a really traditional family restaurant, and it's all particular about the things in the restaurant, like the flower and all the rest. The painted are really old, so they are figuring the woman from the first 30 year and the old nobility of Rome, and she likes to say that we always think about the old stuff in the restaurant for make the comfortable, you know, for the clients. The client's comfortable.
In fact, if we were to describe it in just a few words, it's a wonderful change of pace.
Yes.
Imagine that the Colosseum in the center of Rome is 15 minutes away by taxi, and this is the kind of place where you can relax in a way that you cannot in the heart of this wonderful eternal city. So it's Via Panama Due. I did that really well. And there's a website which you'll find in the announcement of this program. And we can only say we were delighted that we came. If you come, you'll also be delighted, we're sure. Anna, you have a last thought?
No, just grazie mille to all of you.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you all. You did a great job.
That's it.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
And we love encountering the families of these family-run establishments, and we had a good time with them at Casa Bleve. And we also have this wonderful thing you must remember to ask for, is they take your wine cork and make it into a keychain holder.
the interesting thing about Casa Bleve is it started out as a wine bar. In fact, it was they told us it was the first real wine bar in Rome.
Yeah.
But it's morphed itself into a very interesting and a very fine restaurant with Mama in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Cooking away, mostly very traditional food. A great tip for you here is that it's on a side street, not more than 300 yards from the Pantheon, an area which most people will tell you is packed with touristy restaurants, places you wouldn't go in a fit. We found in the case of Casa Bleve that's absolutely dead wrong.
And we've had restaurants in that area before that have been treasures. Yeah.
But they're
you have
they're
to up, know where they are.
Yeah, they're up little side streets. This is a place where local businessmen go for lunch. You would enjoy lunch, you would enjoy dinner, you would enjoy tasting some wines.
Yeah, I don't think Italians eat at their desk like Americans.
No, they do. I guess they don't. Anyway, I guess we'd better play this interview, huh?
Yeah. Okay, here we are with one more fantastic meal in a restaurant that came highly recommended to us by an author who should know. And it's the Casa Bleve, and I just learned that Bleve is the name of the family that owns this restaurant, and it's been going for quite a long time. Now, we have the Signora Tina Bleve, who is the cook, the kitchen side, and also her son, Antonio Bleve, who's going to give us a short history of when this wonderful restaurant started.
I have to say hello.
Yes.
Hello together. So our history is a crazy history about a small Italian family that moved from southeast of Italy in Rome in 1970 when my father bought the first wine shop in Rome. And in 1977, because my mother was a very good cooker. My father decided to open a food side inside the wine shop and started as a small wine bar. And in 2003, we moved in another place, the Casa Bleve, where we improved the restaurant side. And so we become most bigger than in the past, and we start to make more dishes, more hot dishes, more pasta, more main courses between the past when we was with more cheeses, salumi, and carpacci dishes. In 1999, we managed for Fresco Baldi in the Rome airport the wine bar. We finished this relationship in 2013 because the Fresco Baldi closed the wine bar in airport, so we finished this collaboration. So now all our experience is in Casa Bleve restaurant.
Well, I mean, as I said, this was highly recommended, and we sort of get recommendations based on food because that's my first love. Although the atmosphere here is really comfortable, but also I would say this is a cut above a wine bar.
It
più che un wine.
Yes, is the wine character remaining in our DNA because we have a big wine list, a big wine glass list, but now is a restaurant places with a small shop before the enter. So this is our changing.
Signora, da sola, la passione, a me piace molto cucinare e creare, diciamo. E poi amo molto la gente, amo. Niente scuole, niente così, tutto dalla mia fantasia.
So she never study about the kitchen, just learn herself with his passion. So he studied alone, and she go around the first part of our menu, our kitchen, born from our land, so from southeast of Italy, where every mom know very well to cook, because it's one of the most important things in a family, no? Is the table. So everybody of us know to cook. So also me, my brother, my cousin, so all have a little bit experience about the cook. And after, my mother start also to study alone with experience, with to try and work, and she learn by ourselves, herself. Sorry.
Well, she learned well. The food is very, very good, and expertly delivered. And I saw, by the way, how much she loves people, because she came into the dining room and welcomed everybody.
Yes. Yeah, could you tell her
yes,
that?
Yes, right.
Signora, cosa, I mean, what have we eaten today, for example?
What you eat?
What did we have?
Quello che hanno
describe the dishes.
Di descriverle.
Yeah.
La spigola è...
Hanno mangiato il misto...
Sì, il misto della casa, la spigola e l'agnello.
Dunque, il primo i stuzzichini, i nostri stuzzichini e lo sfizio, che tra cui c'era il pesce spada con fichi freschi e sopra mostarda di fragole, e il tacchino tacchi con ricotta, cissi e tartufo e succo d'arancio, poi peperone, pepe con tonno, capperi e acciughe. Poi c'era la pizza pugliese, quella è la pizza pugliese, e la mozzarella di bufala con le acciughe e pomodori al forno, pomodorini al forno, piccole, sì. E poi che c'era ancora? Il racchino. Poi per secondo una spigola fatta all'acqua pazza, semplicissima, con pomodoro e basilico e olio, senza cipolla, senza odori, senza niente. E le costolette di agnello alla senape antica, è un preparato con l'aceto balsamico, senape e olio, fatta al forno con la cicoria ripassata in padella e patate.
So is I think that we no need any translation, because the food is easy to understand, no? But so today you eat our spizzi, that is an our history resume, because inside there's all cold and hot delicatesse that my mother invented during his career. And you also take the spigola, the fish, is a typical Mediterranean fish that we fortunately eat from when I was child. It's just with tomato and so it's very simple. It's not, there's no any strange aromas or spices. It's just tomato and oil. A little bit cipolla, no?
No, no. Yeah, solo il pomodoro fresco e
basil. And basil, solo a little bit, just a little bit basil. And the lamb is a typically Roman dish. It's very simple with this senepantica. It's a small cream made with balsamic vinegar and senape. And is bucked with some sicory as a side. Mm-hmm. The sicory is the typical Roman vegetable, so we eat every day. So it's very easy.
Yeah, puntarella is not in season, huh?
No, the puntarella season started end of September.
October, veramente. Well, it may sound very simple, our listeners, but in sum total, you start with the best ingredients. It's very simple, but it tastes just perfect. Everything's balanced. Signora, what is it you like to cook best, fish, meat, or it doesn't matter?
What
cook is better. What is it you like to cook best?
Cosa ti piace cucinare di più? E dove anche sei più brava a cucinare?
Beh, nei primi, molto
nelle paste,
molto, diciamo così. E anche il pesce, piace particolarmente farlo molto semplice. Pesce molto molto semplice, essendo che io sono di origine pugliese, da noi usiamo molto il pomodoro fresco, l'erbetta, basilico, sì, piace. E poi mi piace cucinare tutto, mi piace molto fare le melanzane alla parmigiana, molto buone. La carne, diciamo, dello spezzatino come facciamo noi giù in Puglia di manzo, i dolci, che è una crema che faceva la nonna 50 anni fa, è una crema con delle bucce di limone, si chiama la crema della nonna, insomma, ecco.
Sì, sì, esatto, da me.
So she said that she preferred cook the pastas is normal for Italian kitchen, the lasagna in the Puglia style, about the meat, the spezzatino is meat with sauce in the spezzatino because it's cutted, it's a small piece. No, cut this small piece of meat, cook in the tomato sauce, this spezzatino. And about the dessert, she loved the lemon cream that is an old grandmother dessert sweet that made in the past with and the he learned from his grandmother. Is just cream with lemon. It's very simple, but it's very good. So.
Anche il tiramisù molto buono.
Non basta, se non voglio tradurre.
Okay. Final question is like, who actually comes here? What is your clientele?
What
who comes here?
What kind of diners?
Kind of
so in lunch we have more business customers. Yes, as today, and less foreign people. During the dinner we have the same level of the same kind of customer of lunch, but. During the week is more business, in the weekend is more casual, And all days and the dinner, we have many foraging people, tourists that come here to test our, to tasting our menu, so our food.
Well, it was a wonderful experience for us. I just want to say that, Senora, we enjoyed this meal so much and the environment so much. And when you came out to greet everybody, I knew you would be a wonderful person to talk to. And thank you very, very much. Ultima parola.
Un ultimo pensiero, una cosa.
Grazie, vi aspettiamo per farvi assaggiare le nostre specialità.
For me, is we wait you to show ourselves, to show our, to tell our history, and in this moment that the restaurant, the food become too fashion, we love to remember to the customer that this is our job. It's very difficult, as I said before. Without my mother, we can't continue this job because it's difficult, and it's a sacrifice, and it's not easy to make in traditional, in the normal style. And the only way to give some emotion to the customer is continue in this way. Because in the standardized way, all people are good to make this job, but it's not our soul. It's a McDonald's soul. No, it's the other, the big company soul that maybe is a very poor soul. It's just this.
I'm going to come back another day, and Antonio, you and I are going to deal with the other aspect of this business, which is we're going to drink a little wine. Okay. I hope that's okay.
So I wait you for the other side of business, so to drink some wine, okay?
Thank you from Kasseblev, about 200 meters from the Pantheon in the center of parts of ancient Rome. This is not an ancient part of Rome. This is a very modern, very generous place to enjoy eating and drinking. So we thank you so much, both of you, for sharing this interview with us. So there you have it, another week in the Eternal City, and I think there might even be another...
A few left over.
Might be a story or two for next week. You can never tell. You'll have to tune in to On the Menu Radio next Sunday, same time, same place, in order to find out. And until then...
Bye-bye.